Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Lizelle Wellbeing Show. I am Lizelle. And in this weekly wellbeing podcast series, I bring you leading experts from the world of wellbeing to bring you wellness wisdom you can trust. Now, this week, we are all still on lockdown and social distancing, but I'm able to sit right up close and personal with today's guest, as she's actually currently living with me under my roof here at home. I am chatting with none other than Amaryllis Earle. Most of you will know her as my daughter, Lily. Now, last week we chatted with Dr. Katie Munro, who is an amazing doctor working at the National Migraine Centre, about how we can better help this massively common and often undiagnosed and untreated medical condition. Well, today Lily picks up the story with a highly personal and hopefully hugely helpful deep dive into her own chronic migraine and how she deals with long-term pain. So welcome to my bedroom. This is a bit of a different podcast episode. Those of you who can see us in vision, I am sat here with my lovely daughter, Lily.
Hello.
Who is usually behind the camera as our sort of, well, videographer for Heart Dialogue.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Make sure I get the term right. So last week we heard from Dr. Katie Munro.
Yes.
And she, coincidentally, is also a lady that you have seen for your migraine.
Yeah, at the National Migraine Centre.
Exactly, migraine, as I've now got to call it.
Well, you can say either.
Yes, she did say that.
We just say it differently.
Exactly, migraine, tomato, tomato, all that kind of stuff. but I think this really kind of brings together the whole subject of migraine in a really good way, because many of you who follow me on social media will know that Lily's had such terrible migraine for far too long now. How long is it?
I've had chronic migraine for about a year and a half. Chronic, the definition of chronic is more than 15 days a month.
Right.
But I had my first migraine episode when I was 19. And then it started to become more of a problem about 5 years ago when I was 24.
Right. Yeah. And what's been really interesting and actually quite devastating for me as a mum, having had Lil living under our roof for several weeks, obviously with the COVID-19 crisis, is seeing just how it does affect you pretty much every day.
Yes.
Because you are either going into an episode or coming out of an episode.
Yeah.
Or struggling to get through one.
Yeah.
And I think Lily's amazing because she has put on such a brave face. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whenever we've worked together, because you've set up with Harry, your husband, the Heart Dialogue sound recording.
Yeah.
Which is why we're able to do this here, by the way, because we are still social distancing. But of course, we're all living under the same roof. And these guys really brilliantly brought all their video and sound recording equipment down with them. So we were able to carry on with this, with working. But of course, when I see you occasionally in London for work, you've really pulled yourself together like you have today. You've put some makeup on, you've got dressed, you look really together, you've taken lots of medication, which I perhaps wasn't aware of before. Mm. And now, of course, I see what an effort it is just even to get to that to that state. So I think it would be really helpful for people. Obviously, I would have hoped that you've already listened to part one with Dr. Katie Munro and got an overview of what we're talking about, what migraine is, severe headache, and the different types of treatments that would be available if you went to the centre and saw a specialist doctor, or hopefully even from your own GP. But I thought what we could do today really is talk about your personal experience and the things that you've tried, because you have pretty much tried everything.
I have, yes.
And I know it's slightly, you're very, very good when people say, you know, really well-meaningly, they'll say, oh, migraine, yes, I know my sister, daughter, friend gets that. Have you tried?
Gosh. Yes.
And you go, yes, I have actually tried that.
Next person who suggests yoga to me is going to get a smack, I think.
That's not very yogi.
No, it's not very yogi.
So let's go back to the beginning. So when did you realise that it was something that you should go to the GP? I mean, obviously now we know in hindsight that any headache is bad and shouldn't be happening and should actually be treated.
Well, it was interesting that Dr. Munro said that last week, because I was initially diagnosed with a tension headache at 19. So I was in my first year of university placements, and I trained as a primary school teacher, and I was having really bad headaches. And because I was teaching and going out on these placements, they were impacting me more than if I was just going to lectures and stuff like that. So that's when I decided to go to the doctor and to get some medication that I could take and still be able to teach and be compos mentis around the children and stuff. And he prescribed me something called Migraleve, which is a cocodamol tablet, and also something for a different one for the nausea. And then when I came back home and saw our regular GP, he actually said it was a tension headache and that I had a problem with my neck and that I should go and see a physio. That part was true. I did have a problem with my neck. Mm-hmm. But actually, the underlying reason, the reason that it was triggering headaches was because I had this migraine gene that Dr. Munro was talking about. It then clears up for a little while. And then I have them on and off for about a year, around 24. And that's when my GP refers me to a neurologist.
Right.
I see a great neurologist called Dr. Foster.
Dr. Foster, does he live in Gloucester?
He doesn't, sadly. I wish he did live in Gloucester. That'd be great. And yeah, so I see him. And to begin with, I was put on, I was given acute medication. So something to take actually during a migraine attack.
Right.
And then the other, and then he said, basically, if you get to around losing one or two work days a month, that's when we start looking at preventative. So that instead of, so trying to stop the migraines.
So when you were having an attack then, what did he give you? Did he give you a strong painkiller?
Yeah, he gave me one of the triptans, which is the only painkiller that's been specifically derived from, specifically derived for migraine.
Right.
I think it came in around the last 20 years or so.
And did it help?
No.
Not at all.
Not at all.
No.
Okay. It didn't help. So that's another reason why we went down the preventative route. And actually, one of the triptans, sumatriptan, turns out, which is the most commonly used one, I'm allergic to, and it caused me to collapse.
That must have been very scary.
It was very scary.
So you were taken to A&E, were you?
No, we had a paramedic come because they thought I'd gone into anaphylactic shock.
Right.
But they were able to treat me at home.
Okay.
And they said I could go to A&E, but it was the week before Christmas.
Right.
So the last thing I wanted to do was to go and spend a Friday night in A&E.
Presumably with a migraine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not good. Okay, so you then stepped up to taking a preventative.
Yes,
and what was the first one that he prescribed for you?
It was propranolol.
Yes.
Which is a beta blocker.
Right.
Okay. And that gave me quite bad side effects from the beginning, made me very tired because it slows your blood pressure down.
Right.
Lowers your blood pressure.
Because it's a heart disease drug, isn't it? Beta blockers? Are they used for panic attacks? And
I don't know about panic attacks, but they are used for high blood pressure. That's their primary use.
Okay.
So like Dr. Munro was saying last week, they borrow medication from other parts of medicine because there is no, apart from that new type of injectables she was talking about, there are no preventable drugs that have been specifically developed for migraine.
Mm.
So over the course of trying to treat migraine, doctors have borrowed medication from other areas where, say, a patient with high blood pressure has taken propanol and yes. has realised that their migraines have reduced.
Ah, okay. That's how they discovered it. So you were on beta blockers. How long were you on those for?
A month.
Obviously didn't work.
It didn't work. And I know Dr. Munro said, do it for 3 months. But the problem is a lot of the medication that I've tried has given me very debilitating side effects at quite low doses.
Right.
And that's why we haven't continued through for the 3 months, because the side effects have been so debilitating and we're looking at quality of life.
Yeah.
You know, is my quality of life improving or being made worse by the drugs? Mm. So then I go through about 4 different drugs. I can't remember all of them, but
you've got sort of anti-epilepsy drugs.
Yep. And antidepressants, and they borrow from anti-epileptic drugs, antidepressants, cardiovascular medication. And I was on, so like amitriptyline is a antidepressant and is used for nerve pain. Mm-hmm. So it's supposed to break the pathway of pain between the nerve sensors and the brain. But eventually we found one that worked, which was a antidepressant called duloxetine, which did work at a very low dose, so only 20 milligrams. And normally it's prescribed at something like 120 or, you know, much, much higher for depression and other mental disorders. It's used, the way it works is it increases the life of serotonin in the body. And that's how it combats pain as well.
Oh, interesting. And so do you still take that?
I do take it, yeah.
But you take it every day?
Yes, but in combination with other drugs. Mm-hmm. Because it, after about 1.5 years, stopped working. And that's when my body and my health deteriorated. And I then went into chronic migraine about 1.5 years ago.
Right, right. And of course, these drugs do have side effects. So duloxetine is not something long-term you necessarily want to stay on?
No, duloxetine isn't something that you want to stay on, probably. Well, I don't know. Obviously, lots of these drugs, you know, they've passed all their trials, they're considered safe. Mm. But side effects-wise, it's not something that I would want to stay on long-term because it makes me have to pee in the middle of the night.
And of course, Dr. Munro was saying one of the key things is sleep and protecting your sleep.
Yes.
Gosh. So what do you take now? So you're still on the duloxetine, and I know in the morning, because I've seen you travel. Have you got your
I have.
Pack of medicines?
I have my pack of medicines for those who are watching on YouTube.
So what have we got in here? We've got lots of different things. So should we start with the medication, and then perhaps we can move on to talk about some of the supplements that you're taking
as
well?
Yes, yeah. So I take duloxetine.
Yeah.
Every morning. And gabapentin. I actually take this twice a day.
I think it was the gabapentin I was thinking that has more of the side effects. I knew that one of the drugs that you were on.
It's very sedating. So I actually worked with Dr. Foster to reduce my dose because I was finding that it was making me too sleepy and feeling like drugged and drowsy in the afternoon.
Right. And what is gabapentin? What does that do?
Gabapentin, it's a pain drug. And I have a feeling, sorry for the rustling, those who are listening, it's an anti-epilepsy drug.
Oh, okay. I can tell when you've taken it because it makes your pupils dilate.
Yes.
So you get these.
Yes, treating epilepsy and neuropathic pain.
Right, okay. And does it help?
It helps in my overall feeling of pain, because the problem was I'd been because now I'm in chronic migraine, it was starting to cause other areas of my body to become painful through, and then that would reduce the amount that I could exercise and stuff, and then that would make
Why
my body...
Why does chronic pain in your head and with migraine, you know... cause pain in other bits of your body? How does that work? That seems very unfair.
It is very unfair. Part of the problem is you're unable to live your life, you're unable to exercise or move or do anything like that, so you become very stiff and very sore.
Because you used to run. I mean, you used to go out with Michael Garry.
Yes, I
running,
did.
And you would do, you timed 5Ks, and you being super fast, you got these lovely long legs, and you know, he was saying how brilliant you were at running and you should be competing, join a running club and all that, but obviously you've not been able to do.
No, I haven't been.
I mean,
able
sometimes
to
you
run.
Can't even go out for a walk, let alone go for a run.
No, because I don't have the energy to do it.
Is that the migraine taking away the energy or the drugs, do you think?
I think it's probably ultimately the cause is the migraine or recovering. Because my migraines are so chronic now, like you say, I'm pretty much always in one phase of the migraine. So I have migraine with aura, which has four phases.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the phases then of migraine.
The predrome is the time preceding a migraine. And that's, you become quite irritable. There will be other symptoms like increased yawning, increased need to go to the loo again, increased sensitivity to light and sound. Mm. Then if you get auras, it's the aura stage, which is disruption with your vision, or it can actually be any sensory disruption. The most common one is vision.
Yeah.
But I also get what's called Alice in Wonderland syndrome, which
what's
is
that?
It's when it's apparently Lewis Carroll's inspiration for Alice in Wonderland, the drink me and eat me packets.
Yes.
Where she grew into different heights and shrunk. And apparently that's the inspiration, because your perception of yourself becomes very distorted and your shape within space becomes very distorted. And so it's known as, it does have a proper medical term, but it's known as Alice in Wonderland syndrome.
Wow.
And that's when I struggle to walk up and down stairs, or will be like clinging to the wall or crawling, because my perception, I can't trust any of my senses.
So that must be really scary if that's happening, if you're, say, on public transport.
It's really scary. The worst I ever had it, I was on public transport with Harry, but I was 2 hours away from home. At night, you know, at like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So having an attack like that is really, is really scary.
Mm. And there are various things I know that you've done, because you also see a psychologist.
I do. Yeah. She's
so
great.
That's part of the, the program. And she's given you sort of mental routines to go through.
Yes. So the thing about, so I was looking at some facts and figures before I came on the show. And those who suffer from migraine are much more likely to suffer from depression and anxiety.
Not surprisingly.
And so that was from the National Migraine Trust. And I know actually the National Migraine Centre's podcast, Heads Up, has done an episode all about that. Mm. And it's really interesting. But what I found is that when the predrome came, or I would start getting an aura before moving into the migraine or postdrome phase, my anxiety would be heightened because I would know, like I'd feel a twinge in my head and I'd know that a migraine was imminent or something like that.
So you live almost a permanent state of fear of the next, next attack.
And so Dr. Marks, my psychologist, has been really helpful in looking at that and ways of coping with that, and also ways of engaging with the pain, because chronic pain also has a big psychological and emotional component. So you feel some pain, it becomes really bad, it's all consuming, it's all you can think about. So then you're thinking about it, and then you're maybe going to catastrophizing thinking, which is like, oh my gosh, is it going to be awful tomorrow? I'm supposed to be doing X, Y, and Z. I can't believe this is happening to me. Isn't this awful? Maybe tomorrow will be even worse. And then, so then the pain in your mind becomes bigger.
Yeah.
So how do you engage in the pain with the pain in a way that's not denying it, but also in a way that's healthy? And so we've been doing mindfulness exercises, and she's actually referred me onto a mindfulness course, which I'm doing with the London Mindfulness Project, now online, through Zoom.
Yes.
Basically look at that and to be able to separate slightly, to help separate the anxiety out of the impending pain.
And I know that there's a routine you do where you become aware of your body, like you trace
the body scan.
Body scan. What's the body scan?
So the body scan is all about, so it's a mindfulness practice or exercise that you can do that, so it's not just for people with pain, although mindfulness has been shown to be very helpful with people for the management of chronic pain, but it's where you bring your awareness into your body and you focus your awareness just on one point. So it might be like your big right toe or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you like work up your body focusing on bits of it and you just are aware of the sensations. It sounds very kind of hokey, but it does help because you acknowledge the sensations, you're aware of them, but you try and do it without judging it. And that's the key thing is there have been, this was a technique that came out of Harvard University because they found that actually if you're able to experience pain without judging it, your personal experience of the pain decreases. So that's what the body scan is to help with.
Right. And you do that?
I do, yes. Mm. I now, because I'm doing this course, have to do it every day. Okay. As my homework this week.
Good. Well, that's a good bit of homework. So let's get back to the drugs then. So
yeah, we didn't get very far.
So we got to the duloxetine and we got to the
gabapentin.
So those are daily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should also say that gabapentin is quite far down the list.
Right.
It's not one that most people would come across, probably.
Right, okay.
I think maybe this is the 14th drug we've tried.
Right, okay. So there have been a lot in between. This is just what I'm on
at the moment, yeah.
Okay, then you've also got ibuprofen in your bag. So would you take that? Presumably you wouldn't
this
take that every day.
This is actually for my period pain.
Okay, fine. That's a different type of pain. Let's not forget that we also get other types of pain. Yeah. That all doesn't just go away because you've got one condition.
So those are actually the only two medications, daily medications daily. That I'm on mm-hmm. at the moment. And then these are all these are supplements. And these are all the ones that Dr. Monroe spoke about last week.
Great.
So this is coenzyme Q10.
Coenzyme Q10. So that's helpful for energy. You've got...
And then magnesium citrate.
Magnesium citrate, yep. And you're taking these once a day, are you?
I actually... And vitamin B2.
B2,
I take the coenzyme Q10 once a day and I take the other two twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
But that gives me the recommended doses.
Yeah. And then you've got the Biocult Migraea.
Yes.
Which I remember finding for you when I was researching probiotics. And I came across
you did.
One that was... allegedly good for migraine. It's specifically formulated for migraine.
Yes.
And that one, I was interested to see what type of bacteria this one has in it, because it has a specific strain. It's got 14 strains of live bacteria with magnesium and vitamin B6. Actually, interesting. Does it say? Yeah, it's got the different types. So they're all lactobacillus. Oh, no, there's... lactobacillus bifidum. Lots of different ones. I'm not sure which is the one that's unusual there for migraine, but they've obviously tested that. And how long have you been taking this probiotic?
Since the end of September.
So that's about what, currently about 5 months,
so,
maybe?
Yes.
Do you think it's having any effect?
No.
No. Okay, fair enough. So we'll just carry on with it just in
case. Yes, I mean... Yes, they did a trial, and again, it was three months. And actually, the trial data was really, obviously, it's good enough for them to be able to make these claims, but it was very good.
It wasn't definite, though, was it?
No, it wasn't for everyone.
No,
it wasn't for everyone, but it did help a lot of people.
And what's in your little pink box there?
This is a anti-nausea medication.
So what's that called? I don't know, but Bacostum, something like that. And is that prescribed?
So you can buy it over the counter. You can just ask a pharmacist for it. But I initially found it through Dr. Foster prescribing it, my neurologist prescribing
Bacostum it. Bacostum M, it's called. Bucal tablets.
Yeah.
So when would you take these?
These I would take during either the pre-drome or the actual migraine phase.
And is that because it makes you feel so sick?
Yeah. So it depends when the nausea comes. Sometimes it comes beforehand, sometimes it doesn't come until after the headache starts.
Interestingly, it does say on this pack, relieves nausea and vomiting associated with migraine.
Yeah, no, it's specifically
very specific.
Migraine.
Now,
nausea.
I remember that you had a very bad attack a few months ago, so bad, in fact, that you collapsed and were taken to A&E.
Oh, yes.
And they injected you in A&E with something.
Yes.
Let's talk about your A&E experience, because it was very interesting.
I've been to A&E several times.
Yes. And I think what's frightening for a lot of A&E medics is that when you get a young person who comes in presenting with an extreme acute migraine,
yes,
it's has similar symptoms to having a stroke.
Yes, or
a brain bleed.
Or a brain bleed, yeah.
So that's what they will test you for.
Yes, it will. They will. And the first time I went in, actually, I specifically was showing quite stroke-like symptoms. I was slurring my words.
So that's very scary for you.
Yes.
To think that you might have been having a stroke.
Yeah. And so you go in and obviously they put you go into majors and obviously A&E is brilliant and the staff do such a fantastic job, but it is not a good environment to be in when you're having a migraine.
Of course not. It's very noisy, bright lights.
Absolutely.
Moving around from place to place.
Stress. Yes. You're not in a like nice, safe, cushy feeling environment.
No.
So, and then what often happens is if the doctors will obviously, and rightly so and totally understandably, want to check you if you've had a stroke or a bleed in the brain. And they do that through, you go through a CT scan. They can also do an MRI, but obviously in an emergency situation, the CT scan is much quicker than an MRI. And
so it must be a nightmare to be having that while you have an acute migraine.
Yes.
That is so debilitating.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, presumably you're in a wheelchair, you're unable to walk. It's
Once I was in a wheelchair, I collapsed and kind of was only vaguely with it, so I couldn't walk. My husband Harry had to carry me to the car and then wheelchair me into hospital and then go and park the car.
Oh, for flipping heck's
so
sake.
Had to leave me in the A&E waiting room
in agony.
Not conscious.
Yeah.
And also I started convulsing, but I was fully aware. I wasn't having a fit, it was just that my body sometimes I get these like twitches.
I have to say look I'm actually finding this really hard.
I'm very sorry.
No, it's not as hard as you find it. And I have to say that you have taught me so much through all of this, because I wake up every morning, I kid you not, and my first thought is, I'm so grateful that I'm not in pain like my daughter.
Oh, mummy.
You know, so grateful for small mercies, truly. Mm. But we will fix you. So, because that's not the end of the story. We've, you know, we're still going. We're still going with it. So that was your first experience of A&E.
So my first experience wasn't the time where I was
okay,
not
so
awake.
That was one
the
of
first
your
time. Yeah, the first time.
We used
time.
To joke actually that you used to have an A&E loyalty card.
Yes, frequent flyer.
Not one that you want, really. You don't want to be a gold card holder, do you, really?
No,
not for that one. It's not a good club.
I made it to the 2nd of January before having to go to A&E this year.
Oh, okay.
But that's
right.
because I fractured my chin. Not because
that was a different thing.
That was an accident, yeah.
that's a whole nother story.
That was because I was having too much fun. So the time when I was kind of unconscious and shaking and all of that was actually the most amazing A&E experience.
Mm-hmm.
We were at St. George's in Tooting and we went there because we now know that they have a really great neurological department.
That's good to know.
And they put me, I think the being passed out and convulsing in the waiting room helped.
Hopefully, yes.
get fast-tracked. But they put me in there was a small room next to where they were triaging everyone, and they put me in a small dark room and got me to lie down.
Oh, brilliant.
And then I had a senior emergency doctor come and talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually had some experience with migraine before. So he took my history and listened while I was kind of like whispering to him.
Mm.
And he was like, clearly with a history like yours, there is no point in running extra tests because you're just going to be here and it's not a good place for you to be whilst you're having an attack like this.
Yeah.
So we need to get you out as fast as possible. Have you ever had a drug called metoclopramide?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never heard of it. And it's actually a morning sickness drug.
Mm.
It's the second most used drug for really acute morning sickness.
Right. So presumably it's safe then if they can give it to pregnant women.
Exactly. So it's super safe.
Yeah.
And the reason they started giving it to migraine patients, or it became, I don't know how they first started the link with migraine, but in America, there have been lots of studies on it because they have such a huge opioid crisis. and yes. addiction problem.
Yes, they do.
So they've been looking yeah. at other medications to be a first line, as kind of like a first line defence against migraine when someone presents in an A&E situation. And metoclopramide is really effective. And actually, they gave it to me intravenously. And within 20 minutes, I was jumping up and down because I had so much energy and I had to get it out of me.
Oh, my goodness. And no pain?
No pain. Oh, no. The nurse that triaged me would like came running out and was like, oh, my gosh, you're a completely different person.
Like a miracle.
Mm.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So what next? Did you think this is it? This is, I found my...
I did, yes. I was really, bullet. Exactly. Well, that's actually the exact way Dr. Foster, my neurologist, described it. He said, be careful. Don't get your hopes up that it's a magic bullet. Because he gave it to me as a tablet to take when I needed it. Mm-hmm. And to begin with, it was absolutely fine. I didn't have any side effects at all.
Yeah.
And it worked. And then I started to get this crawling feeling in my skin every time I took it. And it was about 10 minutes and it would just hit this crawling feeling. Mm-hmm. And I could always tell when it was coming. And then it kind of turned into a gnawing and a twisting feeling.
Oh,
and unfortunately, metoclopramide can do this, can create tics, and it can cause your limbs to twist, literally to twist. And they,
what?
Yeah.
An extraordinary thing.
Yeah. And so I can't take it anymore.
Oh, honey pie.
Yeah. So and basically
so that's another
they thought,
one crossed off the list.
Yes. And I have to be careful of that one because they often use it in anesthesia.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, it's one of the, I think because it's an anti-sickness, they use it within anesthetics a lot. Anesthetics? No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the
anesthetic?
What's like, you know, Botox and
injectables.
Yeah. What would that...
Fillers or...
It does not begin with an A. That begins with an A, N. Sorry, I'm sidetracking.
Yeah, no. I can't think, but actually you've brought
aesthetics.
Up... Aesthetics.
That's
got
it.
You.
Yeah.
Not an anaesthetic, an
yeah.
aesthetic.
And so I just have to have it on my medical notes.
Right.
Should I ever need an anaesthetic again, I need okay. to make sure that it doesn't have that N.
So interesting that you talk about Botox, because you do now have Botox as
I do.
Part of your
I do. Anyone
library.
Watching on... Anyone watching on YouTube will see that I have very minimal.
You can't frown. You can't,
I can't
look
frown.
Cross. You're trying really hard.
No.
That's as cross as she gets, guys. But, you know, the upside is that you will never have a wrinkly forehead.
No,
If this continues. Now, where do you have your Botox injections and how many do you have?
So I have it in the 31 sites.
Yes.
Plus a bit extra.
So that's all, it starts in your forehead and it goes over
yeah,
all the way
it
over
goes
your scalp.
All the way around my scalp and down my neck and down my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have it around my eyes here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they put extra in my neck. But yes, I have. And I also have some in my jaw as well because I clench.
Right. And how often do you have those?
That's every 3 months.
And how effective are they?
So effective.
Are they?
So effective.
How long does it take to work for you?
Oh, it takes about 2 weeks.
Does it?
And there's also a 2 week kind of cool down period towards the end of the 3 months. So I'll always know when I'm due to rebook.
Really?
Because my migraines will start becoming more painful.
Right.
And that's when I will get in contact with the doctor and they'll say, oh, actually, yes, you're due for a top up.
So in what percent, if we're talking in percentage terms of pain or scale of 1 to 10, if your migraines are 10, mm-hmm. the Botox would take it down to what level normally?
A 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So you're dropping the pain by kind of a third.
Yes. Yeah.
Nearly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with some people, Botox works amazingly well as a preventative.
Mm.
With lots of people, actually, it works brilliantly as a preventative. Yeah. Unfortunately for me, it doesn't seem to prevent the attacks, but it does make them less painful.
Right.
So then I'm taking less painkillers or...
Sure.
Yeah,
and Botox is so safe and exactly, you're not putting a drug through your liver like by
taking
tablets.
Exactly.
So it's a really
good
thing.
I won't wrinkle.
And you'll have beneficial side effects.
Yes.
Well, at least there's potentially one. Okay, so we are now at a stage where you have had this lovely wonder drug, which then sadly didn't work for you.
Yeah.
So then you go back to your neurologist and what do they then say?
Well, I can't take it any longer. So then it's back to, even whilst I was having this metoclopramide wonder drug, like you say, we were still looking for something to stop the attacks coming.
Yes.
So to break that cycle of the migraine attacks coming. So that's the daily preventative. So we were still working with the preventatives anyway. That never stopped. And unfortunately, I was very, very ill last year with it because the preventatives weren't working or were giving me hideous side effects. One made me go blind, basically. I couldn't see properly. One stopped me from sleeping. I didn't sleep more than 3 hours a night. So we're still working on the preventatives. Mm-hmm. And that is now, although I'm still taking the duloxetine and the gabapentin, although I'm still taking those drugs daily, I'm actually trying the new other injectable treatment.
Great. So yeah, let's talk about this because this was something that Dr. Munro talked about. This is fairly newly licensed, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's going through the process of being allowed on the NHS. In England, it is allowed, I think, in Scotland and Wales.
Okay, interesting.
So this one is, the brand name is Ajovy, and it is a monoclonal antibody. So it basically, there's a certain type of peptide, I think.
Yes.
It's what Dr. Munro was talking about last week.
Something to do with proteins in the brain.
Exactly. So there's a certain type of protein in the brain, which they found that migraineurs have more of than non-migraineurs. Mm-hmm. And this protein binds to the pain channel that the migraine attack uses. So the theory is that protein is what's triggering, and it binding to the pain channel is triggering the migraine. So if you inject yourself with an antibody, it binds to that protein, so it interferes. It gets in between the protein and the pain channel, so it can't get attached to the receptor.
Right. So you've injected, in fact, you injected yourself this morning, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And you injected it in your tummy?
I did, yes. I injected it in my tummy.
So brave.
Yes, your son said that he was like, "You're insane." I was like, "I'm not insane, I'm ill." And he was like, no, you're insanely brave.
Oh.
That's very sweet.
Bless him.
So yes, it comes in a little injection like this for those watching on YouTube.
Okay. And that's, you do that once a month?
Yes. Thankfully, it's only
second.
Once a month.
Right.
So yes. Yeah. It's my second one. So we're doing the 3 month trial with this.
Yeah.
So I've got one more after this and then we'll take a few.
Yeah. What do you think? Are you getting any indication of how it's working?
No, not currently.
Okay.
But it does normally take at least the second injection.
Okay, good. Well, we're going to hope and pray that is working for sure.
Yeah.
You've got some other little props here as well. That's something
do.
I found this, I think, online somewhere and ordered it for you.
Is this the ice cap?
Yeah. So let's look at that. So this is something that you travel with and keep in the freezer, do you, for wherever you are?
Yes, I do. Really sorry about the crinkling. I keep it in a sandwich bag in the freezer. It's...
And it looks a bit like if you've ever seen a sort of a rugby scrum cap. That's
yes,
kind of
that's
what
exactly
like.
What it looks like. And it's frozen with gel packs.
How cold
packs.
Is it? Oh, it's very cold.
And it's been out of the freezer the whole time we've been recording as well.
Gosh, that is. So you would put that on?
Yes.
You going to wear it?
I could put it on.
She's nothing if not game, is she, this girl?
And it has
that
a nice
very
pack down the back of the neck.
It does.
As well. I don't know what my hair's going to look like when I take this off now.
Oh, that is desperate. So when would you wear that and for how long?
I would wear this during the migraine phase, the headache phase.
So when you're
so
got
actually
the acute
in
pain.
Yeah, when I'm in pain.
And how, you know, again, on a scale, but how is it reducing the pain threshold?
It probably takes it down by one digit.
Okay.
So 7 to a 6.
Okay. Yeah, so a little bit helping, just sort of nibbling away at the...
Exactly. It's all just kind of like nibbling away and finding things that work.
Other things that you've tried, I know, have included cranial therapy, cranial sacral therapy.
Yes.
And jaw relief. I know we've written about Lynn Ray in the magazine.
Yes,
and about
I've seen her
amazing TMJ jaw exercises for getting rid of jaw ache. How did you find that in terms of migraine?
So whenever I have a migraine, I become very tight and very tense. Mm-hmm. Either I don't know whether it's a psychological thing because I'm in a state of stress or because or whether it's a side effect of the actual migraine attack. But I become very tight to my neck, my shoulders, my jaw, all of that becomes very tight.
Right.
So having these complementary therapies to add on to and have with the you know, the drugs and all of that thing. All that stuff is really helpful in terms of actually living with and managing the pain.
Because you've seen a physio.
Yes.
So you've had physio treatment.
I have,
and
yes.
Has that been helpful?
It has been very helpful. So I had, I've got scoliosis, as you know.
Yes, I do.
But for listeners, I have a scoliosis, which is a curve of the spine. Luckily, mine is quite minor. But it has put pressure on my neck. And so my neck was actually, instead of all 7 vertebrae working together as a curve, they had seized up. And so it was working as a hinge.
Got you.
4 and 5 was just working as a hinge, basically. So I had physiotherapy for that. And I also had steroid injections, facet joint steroid injections,
right,
and occipital nerve block, which again Dr. Monroe mentioned yesterday.
So you can have nerve
so that's when they put steroids and local anesthetic either in between the facet joints in the vertebrae or around the occipital nerve,
because you've also had local anesthetic injections.
I have, into my neck and shoulders,
and then talking about needles, sorry to interrupt you, needles, you've also had acupuncture.
I have had acupuncture.
So you've been to an acupuncture who specialised in migraine?
Yes.
And how many sessions did you have there?
So I had, I don't know, at least 10, I think.
Yeah, okay. Did that help at all?
I'm not sure. Again, I think it helped with the tension relief.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It certainly didn't. And also it did really help with my sleep.
Right. Okay.
So again, it kind of helps like other areas that get impacted because of the migraine.
Yes.
But it didn't actually take away the migraines.
No.
And the problem is he was also about an hour's journey away.
Mm. So and by the time you've got the benefit of that, you've actually
exactly
probably been worn off. What about cranial sacrotherapy?
Love it. It's so, probably slightly controversial.
Well, I love it too. So this is where the therapist almost just sort of holds you and tunes into your cranium.
Yes.
Which is this pulsating sheath, isn't it, that goes over the brain and down the spine.
Yes, yes, from the sacrum up to the bone at the base of your skull and goes back and forth in a wave.
And talk us through that. How does it make you feel and what's the theory behind it?
So the theory behind it, I think, although I'm probably going to get this wrong, is that there could be blockages in that fluid moving or causing energy blockages, which again, I know sounds super hokey.
Yeah, but it's good. You know, it's good. That's what complementary therapy is all about, being complementary to.
Exactly.
The medical evidence-based clinical work. And I think you've got to have an open mind and try all sorts of things. I mean, I know we'll talk about diet and things in a minute, but that's another thing that we can try.
So I've found it super helpful and more relaxing and beneficial than any of the other complementary therapies.
Really? And I've heard a lot of people with chronic pain conditions also say that cranial sacral therapy can be really helpful.
It's
and
really
you get
helpful.
Sort of cranial osteopaths as well who work on the cranium.
So cranial sacral therapy is much gentler than osteopathy.
Right.
There's no clicking or manipulating or any of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's very, very gentle. And it's also very kind of like beneficial or helpful if you've had a lot of medical intervention like I have. You've been stuck with needles and anaesthetized and hospitalized and gone into A&E, and to actually have really like gentle touch and massage and like something that's really safe and nice is just really nice.
Yeah, something to really look forward to.
Exactly. It's a real treat. And it's really helps me relax.
Yeah, and unfortunately you can't obviously have that at the moment while we're in lockdown, but it's probably one of the first things that you're going to go back to.
It is. I'm so excited.
And other treatments that we've tried, I know that we're both a fan of reflexology.
Yes.
Does that pick up anything? Does a reflexologist pick up anything in the feet?
She's picked up when I had problems with my neck.
Right.
So she'll say like you're feeling very tense and stuff, and she can pinpoint which vertebrae it is from my feet.
That's amazing.
Like when my back gets very sore or stuff, because actually when I get an attack, the whole back of my body, literally from my heels all the way to my the top of my head, becomes really tight. So she's very good at helping with that. But she hasn't and kind of like emotional states she's very good at picking up on. But again, it's all kind of nibbling away at the periphery of the
disease. And I know
disease.
We've seen somebody who does Reiki and all these sort of weird things. It's just not.
That's not my bag.
No.
I think that's Reiki's my line,
right,
personally.
Yeah.
But actually what that did remind me of is with the cranial sacral therapy is she really helps relieve the nausea.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If I'm feeling sick when I go and see her, I won't be feeling sick by the time I leave. And she can pick it up. She's like, it's just like your whole body feels sick.
Gosh. I have to say, some of these complementary practitioners are absolutely extraordinary.
Yes.
We've been to a few. We've tried kinesiology in terms of food allergies.
Oh, yeah, that's hysterical.
Well, it was quite disappointing, actually.
It was very disappointing.
Because we've been told that this person was going to be absolutely brilliant and could pick up all kinds of food allergies.
Yes.
Now, you are massively allergic to avocado.
Yes, I am.
Which is, you know, quite a weird thing, being somebody who works in well-being, that you cannot have.
Daily peril.
Literally, there's always avocado back here in the house. It's like, no, Lil, can't have that. Don't use that knife. It's been used to cut an avocado. You know, I mean, it is really quite a serious allergy.
Yes.
And of course, what this kinesiologist was doing was putting little bits of food on this sort of electrode dial and then prodding you to see.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
And the little needle was you know, going backwards and forwards to say whether it was safe for you or not. And when we got to avocado, you and I kind of looked at each other, because obviously we knew that you were highly sensitive to it. And of course it just passed the test, and you said, no, that's fine. You're absolutely fine with avocado. So
that was very disappointing.
It was a massive crushing blow, because it just meant that everything else, of course, that had been said before could just, you know, totally go out the window and be discounted. But you have found some food exclusions helpful. And I know you don't want to give up sugar, because you are a bit of a sugar junkie.
I am, yes.
And for me, as many people will know listening and watching, you know, I'm a kind of anti-sugar campaigner, and I'm much more on the side of high fat, high protein, low carb, low sugar.
Yeah.
So you've tried a bit of keto, haven't you?
Yes.
But not for very long. I know you found that quite hard.
Yes, I did find it very hard. And I have tried it in the past. When I have tried it, I haven't felt the benefits. But also I tried it before my migraines became chronic.
Yeah.
So when they were.
But we need to be careful, because one thing that Dr. Munro did say was about your body adapting to change.
Yes.
And it not liking change.
Yeah.
So I think we're not going to, you know, I wouldn't encourage you to do full blown, let's go and straight into keto. Which you'll be quite pleased to hear about. But I do deliberately, you know, when you're here at home, I make sure I've got plenty of nuts for you to snack on so yes. that you're not reaching for biscuits. It's hard because, to be honest, we're here at the moment with several other members of the family and they want to make cakes and they want to buy biscuits and they want to have spaghetti for supper and all of that stuff. Mm. So, you know, I've made sure that we've got things like courgettes so we can do courgetti. Yes. With the sauces and try and have non-sugar snacks, have lots of really, really dark chocolate. Ugh. Without the sugar. I know, sweetheart, but you'll grow to love it, honestly.
No, I know,
you will. Listen to your mother. You will grow to love it. You have to wean yourself off that sugary junk stuff.
I've been really good, thank you very much.
You have. I did find a bag of Skittles.
Not mine. Your youngest child.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
You went to the post office.
When was the last time you had a Skittle?
I don't know.
Well, come on. We were in the car in January and you had a whole bag of Skittles and Moans.
In January?
Yes, well, it was only March.
April,
okay.
So I've been very good.
Okay, but you would reach for that stuff if you could, potentially, or...
If it was there, yes.
Okay.
My actual weakness is the digestive biscuits with caramel and chocolate.
You are the one who taught me how to dip Twix bars into tea.
And turn them into a straw.
mm-hmm. Yep. Don't tempt me. You mustn't. This is all bad, bad. No, this is bad Lily talking. We want good Lily back.
So I do try and eat things that keep my blood sugar more regulated.
Yeah.
And
have you found anything helpful? I mean, I know I've been feeding you full of things like kefir.
I don't know.
No. And in fact, interestingly, we've got to watch out for histamines and histamine-forming foods and things like sauerkraut and kimchi.
Yes. So I haven't been eating that, which is sad because I love kimchi.
Well, we've got to do some research on that because that is another option, isn't it, for you in the future, is to go down the antihistamine route.
Yes. So that is one avenue that I haven't explored yet. Dr. Mumro did say what the actual condition is called. Yes. So we could look at that. But I don't have lots of, apart from avocados, allergies and asthma. And, you know, I don't have mega histamine reactions. I don't get hay fever, thankfully. So, again, I'm not sure about that.
No.
So we'll just have to keep trying.
We will. And you and I have been cold water swimming.
Oh, we have been cold water swimming.
So that was another thing. So I have to thank you for that. It was fabulous. And you did say to me that when we were plunged into this icy cold water in the middle of Central London Park, that actually your pain went from your head.
Yes. So
is that because the rest of your body was in such shock?
I think so, probably. But I've been several times when I've been in pain and then I'm not in pain in the water.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
But obviously you can't stay in the water for that long.
No, because you get hypothermia, which is quite dangerous, I hear.
That's, So what happens? So you go in and does the pain go straight away?
Yes. Yeah.
So would it work in a cold bath? Do you think if you filled a bath with, you know, quite deeply with just water from the cold tap, do you think?
Probably, if it was very cold.
Because people like Andy Murray sit in ice baths, don't they?
Yes, I'm sure an ice bath would help if we actually had ice. You know, ice.
You could shove it, you get sort of that party bags of ice and put it in a cold bath. Gosh, you'd have to be brave to do that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. You'd get very cold.
But then when you got out of the swim, how long then did it take for
about an hour. So I was pain-free for about an hour.
Okay.
But I always have to sleep after the swims.
Right.
Because obviously my energy levels are really very low at the moment, having been dealing with this every day for a year and a half.
Sweetheart, it's just so dreadful and so awful. And I think many people listening will either be in similar situations or will be suffering with a similarly chronic pain condition. And I know I sometimes see on your Instagram that you tag things like chronic pain.
Yes,
and
I do.
Are there various support groups and other people like fibromyalgia and other
conditions? Yes, so I have quite a few followers and people who engage with my content on Instagram because I've started doing, as you'll know, I've started doing these edited pictures where I'm doing
really
ridiculous
fun
and magical things like levitating or
just gorgeous.
Riding a multicoloured zebra, which was a Christmas decoration.
Yeah.
And actually, I found that really inspiring because it's a way of taking control of my body where at the moment it's so out of control. So I'm taking control of some visual element of it. And that's opened a door for me to start talking about my illness and the effects that it has had on my life. And so I have lots of followers who, proportionally, I don't have lots of followers, but a good proportion of them are people who also suffer from things like fibromyalgia or migraines. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also part of support groups on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good to be able to put stuff out there, but also to help. You know, there are lots of questions get asked around Botox on there. And people, I think especially because it's more prevalent in women. I think it's something like 3/4 of migraine sufferers are women.
Yeah.
So I think they're often quite worried about going for Botox, either because of the stigma of having frozen eyebrows or horror stories about drooping eyebrows or anything like that. Yeah. So there's lots of women talking about things like Botox and stuff on there and all the other therapies. But it means that because I'm someone, I can give a really good testimony, for Botox.
And actually, lastly, perhaps we should just also mention the role of hormones. You talk about how more women than men have migraine. And I know Dr. Munro was also talking about the role of estrogen and some women in later life getting migraines that affect them, you know, for the first time, perhaps in their 40s. And she was saying that they will always have had the migraine gene to be predisposed.
Yes, yes.
But then it's the changes, the shifting levels of estrogen that will then trigger.
And that's, at the moment, what they believe that causes that disparity between men and women is because it's due to, it's hormonal. Yeah.
So you came off all hormone treatments, all contraception?
I did, yeah.
Anything that had any kind of hormonal implication whatsoever. Yeah.
And
just so that you could try and exclude that.
As a trigger.
Yeah. And it didn't help.
Didn't help, no.
Okay.
No, all I got was my period back and a migraine.
Oh, sweetheart, you are, honestly, you are my hero.
Oh,
you just are. And I'm devastated that I can't do more to help you. I'm so used to be able to fix things and to have access to resources and people and ability and determination. And the fact that I am sat here, you know, in awe of all the things that you've done and do and still are daily so debilitated and brought low by this and still managing to smile. And I have to say, you know, for those on YouTube who can see Lily, you know, she's put herself together so brilliantly, but I can totally tell that after this you're going to have to go and lie in a darkened room.
I am, yes.
Because you're really struggling and you have just been amazing. And going to your house and seeing the fact that you've had to paint your bedroom black.
It's dark grey, but yes.
It's essentially black. So in anticipation of having to spend a lot of time lying in a dark room.
Yes.
And your bravery and your jollity and your inspiration for others and your thoughtfulness for others is just beyond compare. So
thank you.
You know, we all love you hugely and we will find a way through this. And thank you for holding it together to share with us, darling.
Thank you for having me on, because it's such an under-researched and underfunded area of medicine. So it's great to be able to talk about it and raise awareness.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Well, that is the end of today's show. And as always, you will find all the resources that we mentioned over at lizarwellbeing.com, where you can also subscribe to the free weekly newsletter for so much more wellbeing wisdom, including nutritional guidance, information on complementary therapies with some advice, exclusive discounts, and a lot more. Do please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast, because that ensures that next week's episode will be downloaded safely without you having to even think about it. And a huge thanks to all of those who've taken the time to leave me a review, because it really does help other listeners find the show and may well have access then to the information that they need to stay fit and well, perhaps more so now than ever. So until next time we chat, go well. Bye-bye. The Liz Earle Wellbeing Show is presented by me, Liz Earle, with production by Amaryllis Earle and Harry Trevithick at Heart Dialogue, with huge thanks to my producer, Ellie Smith, and guest booker, Millie de la Morinière.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.